This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
What is elder abuse?
Look, elder abuse is anything that causes harm to an older person, generally over the age of 65 or over the age of 50 if Indigenous, or it's actions against their will. So abuse can be a psychological abuse where somebody's taking control over the decision-making of an old person, which is the most common. It's financial abuse where their resources are being taken by another person, most often a family member. It can be physical abuse, restraints, where people are not allowed to leave their room, leave their home, or so on. Of course, it can be physical abuse where there's actually violence attended to that. The other big one is neglect, where carers are simply out of their depth and neglect is increasing. And as it goes on, it gets worse and worse and worse. But in fact, the carer doesn't seek help. In fact, they avoid it because of the shame associated with what's happening. And the very last one is sexual abuse, and that's a small percentage of the matters we deal with.
And how common, Robert, is elder abuse in Australia?
Much more than we thought, Ben. The Commonwealth Government released a prevalence study just before Christmas last year, and it shows that 15% of older people have identified that they suffered some form of abuse in the last year. Now, that's higher than I thought. It's about 600,000 Australians a year would be subject to some form of abuse.
And do people seek help, Robert?
It depends. The groups that seek the help is not necessarily the person that's being abused. In elder abuse, it's more likely to be another family relative, a brother or sister that will bring up, or a frontline worker, a community nurse, a health worker, a local council worker, who will ring and raise concerns. Only a small percentage of the calls we get are actually from people that are being abused directly. The second thing is, in multicultural communities, there's an enormous amount of shame that gets associated with identifying that you're not able to look after somebody or that somebody might be abused. So again, it's going to be generally a worker that sees what's happening and raises concerns with us. What we want to do is, of course, increase the level of community awareness so that not only frontline workers and not only immediate family but others are aware of and observing what's taking place, but also to give capacity for the older person to ring or raise these issues with somebody they trust.
And Robert, there's been a lot of focus in the past couple of years on the aged care sector and many of the ways that it has failed the people that it's meant to care for. But I take it, though, that elder abuse is not just happening within those institutional confines. Does it tend to happen more among family members?
It's absolutely the case that there is abuse within formal aged care settings, you know, nursing homes and high care facilities. But the truth of the matter is the vast majority of abuse takes place in the home settings and community settings. And the tragedy, Ben, in relation to this is that the vast majority of that abuse occurs by family members, spouses or partners, but the biggest group are the sons and daughters of older people. More than two-thirds of the matters we deal with is where a family member is most likely to be the abuser. Now, sometimes that is because the person is absolutely intent on exploiting their parents or the older person, you know, taking financial gains, what have you. But often it arises because they're unable to care in an appropriate way, and little things start off and they become worse and worse over time. So we're often dealing with situations where the relationship started off as a caring relationship, but because of a number of factors has changed, and quite often it's got to a point where intervention is necessary, and in a very small number of cases, even criminal actions might be needed.
As you're describing this, I get that sense of almost powerlessness, you know, so I'm heading towards a more positive question, which is, well, how can myself and other people be on the lookout for signs of elder abuse, and then what should we do?
So one of the things that happens with older people, and it will happen to you and me, Ben, is that we get older and then we say we've become invisible. Invisible to our extended family, invisible to our former workmates or maybe our church community or what have you. And once you become invisible, a second thing can happen is you become voiceless. Nobody listens to you. We're in the business of empowering older people, and that's the business of everybody. So when we see that somebody else is starting to take control against the will of the person in relation to their finances or making appointments or whatever it might be, when the person no longer engages in the social activities or goes to the services that they used to attend, they're telltale signs. And so in one sense, it depends on your relationship with that family as to what you can do. But the one thing is, if you've got a concern, if you think something's not right. If you think it could be, it appears, but you're not sure, it's imperative to raise it either with a service provider that's engaged with that person or with our helpline, the Ageing and Disability Abuse Helpline in New South Wales, because abuse never gets better. And so if you and I don't intervene, or if I'm a worker that's going into those services caring for people, and we see a pattern of things happening, if we don't intervene, at least just to raise the issue, not to be, you know, even if we're not sure, if we don't do that, then it gets much worse.
The Blacktown City Elder Abuse Prevention Collaborative recently set up. Why was it set up, Robert?
One of the things we know about older people is that they relate locally. They still connect to the local public library. They still connect to senior citizens clubs. They still connect to the local Meals on Wheels if necessary. They read the local papers if there is one. They listen to local community radio. They do all of those things. And so how do we address both preventing and responding? And the only way I can see we do that really well is engaging at that local level. So we've established these collaboratives. There's about 17 of them around New South Wales, and we're going to grow them, where we've got the local council, the local police force, the local health service, and a whole range of community service activities or organisations that are in the lives of older people. And through that process, they can identify the best strategies, the best ways to inform people, to raise community awareness, but most importantly then to respond. So if they hear of, see, or are connected to people that are raising concerns, then they can really have a local response. And we've seen even through COVID, especially working with multicultural communities, coal communities, it's that local knowledge, those local organisations that matter. And in Blacktown, we've got a very large migrant population. Each of those cultural and ethnic communities have different views about the way in which abuse is taking place in their community. And we have to respond to that in a way that understands how they live their lives within that community. Only then do we actually start to break through the barriers of reporting what is seen by many people as a shameful thing.
Is elder abuse of particular concern in Blacktown? Is there greater prevalence of it there than other parts of Sydney?
No, it's far too early to tell if there's a greater prevalence. We're collecting data by local government area over time, and once we've got a more substantial database, we'll be able to tell. But areas where there are high levels of socioeconomic disadvantage might have high levels of neglect, for example. Areas where there are high levels of language difficulties, those communities might not be accessing the resources and services that are available. So in relation to each area, they have different risk factors that might be prevalent for an older person. But the difficult thing here, Ben, is that the complexity of this area is that each of the types of abuse have slightly different risks.
When it comes to combating elder abuse, Robert, at the Ageing and Disability Commission, what do you guys desire for Australian society?
It's really simple. Every older person deserves to live free of abuse, and so does everybody else. A child, we believe, should live free of abuse. Partners in marriages and relationships should live free of abuse. But for older people, because there is increasing frailty, increasing dependency, increasing loss of capacity, there are very high risk factors involved for older people. So our goal is very clear. It is to create an environment where every older person in Australia can live free of abuse. Now, will we ever get there? Not sure. Can we make a really big impact? The answer is yes, over time, just as we are starting to do in domestic violence, just as we have been doing in child protection.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.